If you turn again, please, to the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 3, and we consider this portion of God's word that we read, this letter to Laodicea. We'll read again the well-known words of verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. In 1 Corinthians 11, in the words of institution for the Lord's Supper, we read in verse 28 that a man is to examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And so we learn from God's word there that if we will partake in a worthy and in a right manner, we will first examine ourselves according to the word of God. That examination must be according to the word of God and not according to our own feelings. We are often very bad judges of ourselves, and we're often very bad judges of others, and so the examination must be in accordance with the Word of God. The Word of God is not a bad judge. It is the faithful and the true Word, and Jesus Christ is the faithful and the true witness, as he is called here. He sees things as they really are, and so he can say to you and he can say to me, I know your works. And he will tell us the truth. He will tell us the whole truth, and he will tell us nothing but the truth. But the purpose of self-examination is not to discourage God's people. Indeed, there is much that would discourage God's people when they look within themselves, when they self-examine. They often find what is alarming, what is disturbing to them. They often say, as Paul does in Romans 7, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? But you see, one of the great purposes of self-examination is so that we would be driven again to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would come to rest in him, either for the first time or again. And the more you see, the more we see and feel of our own poverty of spirit, the more we will come to appreciate and value and rest upon Jesus Christ, and the more precious he will become. And this is exactly what we find here in the church at Laodicea. The Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful and the true witness, he is coming to his church here at Laodicea. He is coming as the faithful and the true witness, and he is examining his church, and he is laying bare their sin. But he is also counseling. He is also calling. He is also knocking at their door. He is promising. He's calling her back to himself. And I suppose if there was one truth that you could write over the whole of this letter to Laodicea, it would be this: that the Lord Jesus Christ greatly desires and delights in the mutual fellowship of his people. The Lord Jesus Christ greatly desires and delights in the mutual fellowship of his people. And so he stirs them up to this end. And so what is true for Laodicea 2,000 years ago is true for us also today. And as you contemplate the Lord's Supper next week and you look to examine yourself, then we say what the Word of God says here: he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, and what the Spirit is saying by extension to you here in St. Thomas. And the first thing we notice then in this letter to Laodicea is the miserable condition of this church. The miserable condition You know, the other six churches, the Lord Jesus Christ has something good to say. But not here. Here in Laodicea, in this last church, he has nothing good to say about them, it seems. He says rather, you're lukewarm. You're not cold. You're not hot. You're lukewarm. And this picture that he's using, these people in Laodicea would have been very familiar with. They lived very close to the city or the town of Colossae, which was known for its refreshing, cool, cold water in that hot climate. And very close was Hierapolis, which boasted hot water springs that had medicinal value. But Laodicea had warm water. Laodicea was a very rich, a very opulent city. But the water supply there were miles of aqueduct that brought the water to the city. And by the time the water got to Laodicea, it wasn't cold and it wasn't hot. It was somewhere in between. It was lukewarm. And what Christ is ironically saying to the church in Laodicea is that your spiritual state is no better than your water. Rather than cold and refreshing, and rather than hot and medicinal, this water was useless. And he's saying, in effect, in your current spiritual state, you are useless to me too. It's really striking language. In fact, he uses this idea that this water, this spiritual state of Laodicea, it is so nauseating to Christ that he is at the point of spewing or vomiting them out of his mouth. A graphic picture. And what was it then that about this church that the Lord Jesus found so repulsive, so nauseating? And really in one word, it was this, it was their pride. It was the high opinion that they had of themselves. Because they were saying, I am rich. And I have lots of money. And I don't need anything. Rather than being poor in spirit, they were impressed with themselves. Lukewarm Christianity is when you are satisfied where you are spiritually. Lukewarm Christianity is half-hearted Christianity. It goes through the form of religion, but it knows nothing of the power. It is Christianity that for all its activity does not realize that Jesus Christ is on the outside. He is knocking at the outside of the door. It is a Christianity then that is a stranger to brokenness. It does not grieve over sin. It does not plead for the mercy of God in Christ. And ultimately, it does not really feel the need for the cross of Jesus Christ. It can do without Calvary. It can do without the cross. And that is precisely what is so offensive and nauseating to Christ. When you think of all that he did to save sinners, when you think that in the eternal council of peace, in eternity past, before you or I or anyone else had their existence, his delights were with the sons of men. And he consents with the Father to save men and to die for men. And when you think of what he did in coming into this world, the King of glory, the darling of heaven, the one who is the adoration of angels, and you think of how he came into this sin-forsaken world to be despised and rejected by men and spat upon and not even recognized, and how poor he became. The foxes that he created have holes, The birds of the air that he created have nests, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. And he who could call legions upon legions of angels to his aid, he is the one who allows himself to be scourged and to be mocked and to be ridiculed and to be impaled on a cross and to die and to lie in a tomb for 3 days. The one who created everything, lying without breath in a tomb. Do you see how nauseating, how repulsive, how evil the spirit is that says, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need Jesus Christ. I don't need the cross. I don't need his death. I don't need his resurrection. I am rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. Christ is saying, I'm warning you. If that is your spirit, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And you see, this is what Christ is then bringing his people to. He's bringing them to see themselves as he sees them. We start to see ourselves not through our own eyes, but through his eyes. What does the Lord Jesus Christ see when he looks in here? And if we have high views of ourselves, if our self-examination comes to say, well, I'm not so bad. I'm actually quite good. And in comparison to others, I think I rank quite highly. Then don't come to the Lord's Supper next week. It's not for you if that's your spirit. It's not for people who are saying, I have everything. It's for people who are saying the opposite. It's for people who are saying, I'm not rich. I'm not increased with goods. I have need of everything. I have need of the cross. You see, that's why we just read in the form for the Lord's Supper. The first part says that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that they may abhor themselves and humble themselves before God. And see the sin that required the death of Christ. You see, the people who come to the Lord's Supper are saying, how evil sin must be. How evil my sin must be. That to pardon my sin, to deal with my sin, it required nothing less than the death of the Son of God in our nature. The table is for sinners. It's for great sinners. It's for great sinners who have a great and need a great Savior. Of one who became poor. Of one who became miserable. Of one who became naked. That he might make his people rich. And you see, when we come to appreciate how wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked we are, then the more wonderful the grace, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes, that notwithstanding what I am, notwithstanding my miserable condition, he still greatly desires and delights in the fellowship of his people. This man receives sinners and he eats with them. The miserable condition. But let's notice, secondly, the merciful disposition of the Savior to the church. This is a wonderful thing. Notwithstanding how miserable Laodicea is, notwithstanding the fact that she was so nauseating to him that he was at the point of vomiting her out of his mouth, yet we see this merciful disposition of the Savior to his church. In his grace and mercy and in his great love, Jesus Christ is holding out his arms to Laodicea. He tells her in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Don't you love these words? As many as I love. He's saying, the reason I am speaking so sternly to you. And I am speaking sternly to you, but the reason I am doing it is because I love you. Whom the Lord loves, Hebrews 12 tells us, he chastens. He doesn't chasten. He doesn't, with fatherly discipline, chasten those who are not his people. But as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. That's why I'm speaking so sternly to you. And certainly he is saying, I cannot fellowship with you when you are in this lukewarm state, when you are self-sufficient, when you lack brokenness. You are putting me on the outside of the door when you are like this. I can't fellowship with this. I can't eat. It's lukewarm. I will only spew this out of my mouth. But he's also saying in the words of these wonderful words of the prophet Hosea, the Lord speaking about his people, and he's saying, O Israel, O Ephraim, how will I give you up? O Israel, how will I deliver you? How will I make you like the enemies? How will I make you like Admah? How will I make you like Siboam? My heart is turned within me, he says in Hosea. And so he says in his love here, he has counsel. And if you are lukewarm, he has counsel for you in his love. He's not leaving you. That's the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus doesn't leave you in your miserable condition. If you apply to him, he has counsel, he has instruction. Are you prepared to heed it? Are you prepared to receive it? He says, I counsel you to buy from me. He says, listen to me, poor, wretched, miserable Laodiceans. Buy from me gold that you might be rich. And you say, but you've just said, I'm poor. How can I buy gold if I'm poor? He says, buy it without money, without price. He's saying it's free. Come and buy it. Come and just take it. Just take it. That's what the gospel always tells you. Just take it. Here's gold. Here's real value. Take it. Listen to me, naked Laodiceans. Buy from me white raiment. White raiment that the shame of your nakedness would not appear. Buy from me raiment that is more glorious than the raiment of the angels in heaven. Take it. You who are blind, buy from me eye salve that you might really see. He's saying in the gospel, all that you need, whatever it is this afternoon, my friend here, whatever you need, Jesus Christ has. Laodicea, I said, was an opulent, rich city. It had many marketplaces. And the Lord Jesus is saying here, as it were, Laodicea, I'm standing in your marketplace. I'm calling out to you, O you sons of men, you sons of Laodicea, you sons and daughters of St. Thomas, I am calling out to you. And I'm saying, come and buy without money and without price. And stop spending money for that which is not bread. And stop laboring for that which does not satisfy your soul. And listen to me and buy from me the gold and the raiment and all that you need. And give up your false riches and take my real riches. And give up your self-righteousness and take my perfect righteousness. And give up your sinful way of life and receive my holiness. For without holiness no man will see God. But with my holiness he will see God. Christ is saying, I have everything you need. Buy from me. And so you see, he's stirring up his people. He's wanting his people to have this yearning after him, to receive from him all that they need. And you see, when we examine ourselves, and then in preparation for the Lord's Supper, this is what we're examining ourselves about too. We're not just examining ourselves and to come to the conclusion about our own sin and how we are to abhor ourselves, and we are to do that, but we are also examining ourselves as to the use we are making of Jesus Christ. Well, there's a question for you. What use are you making of Jesus Christ and all the provisions that he offers in the gospel freely to all men? That's why in the second part of examination in the form, we are called to examine our heart, whether we believe that all our sins are forgiven only for the sake and the passion of the passion and death of Jesus Christ and the perfect righteousness imputed to me. That's the great question then. What are you doing with Jesus Christ? What are you doing with the blood of the everlasting covenant? Is this the place that your sin drives you to? Is this what you're saying? This is what I need. Clothe me with this righteousness. I flee to you to cover me. Notice now also that in this merciful disposition, how eagerly and how patiently the Lord Jesus Christ seeks this communion. He says, he is standing at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If we only had a glimpse of the glory of this person, if we really understood and could see the glory of this person, this is the same person who created the worlds. This is the same person of whom it is said that when he comes into the world, the Father says, let all the angels of God worship him. This person is standing at the door of the church, yes, but by extension of the individual in the church. And he's knocking. He's knocking at the door. That is staggering if we understand who this person is. And he is saying as he calls, he doesn't just stand and knock, he's calling. He's knocking on the door and he's calling into your house, and he's saying, as it were, though your sins are many, though you're at the point of being vomited out of my mouth, yet if you will open the door, I will come in with you and I will dine with you. And you with me. What amazing grace. He is saying, as the bridegroom says to the sleeping bride in the Song of Solomon, open to me, my sister, my love. He's saying, I'm longing for your fellowship. I want sweet communion with you. But I am yearning for the reciprocation of my love. He's saying, I have taken my stand at the door. That's actually the sense of the verb. I have made my stand at the door, and I am knocking, and I am calling, and I am knocking, and I am calling, and I am knocking, and I am calling. How long would you stand at someone's door and knock if you really wanted in? A minute? 2 minutes? 5? All day long, he says. In some of your cases, all lifelong, I've been standing at your door. I've taken up my stand at your door, and I'm knocking and I'm calling. And I'm still here. I'm still knocking. I'm still calling. Every time you hear the gospel, he's knocking. He's calling. Every time there's a prayer that you hear, he's knocking. He's calling. Every time you come in this building, he's knocking. He's calling. Every time there's good providences, there's knocks. Every time there's bad providences, there's a knock. Open, open, open to me, he is saying. Do you hear my voice? Does anyone in St. Thomas hear my voice, he is saying? He's saying, I'm here. Does anyone hear my voice? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we say this reverently, but he has incredibly and perfectly, perfectly accurate taste buds. We have, for the most of us, pretty good physical taste buds. You know, if milk goes a little off, You taste it, don't you? If the meat is not cooked or the meat goes bad, you taste it, don't you? Physically. But Jesus Christ has incredibly sensitive spiritual taste buds. And he's saying, what kind of taste am I going to get in St. Thomas? What's the spiritual temperature in St. Thomas? What faith am I going to receive when I come? What love am I going to receive when I come to St. Thomas? When I come to the table next week, the Lord is coming to this table. He'll be there. He'll be there. He's saying, if any man hear my voice, who is there who will dine with me? Who is there who will fellowship with me? You can't say this is not for you. It's not for one group alone. He's saying, if anyone hears my voice, it is Christ and the gospel you are hearing. As one man said, he's come a long way carrying salvation with him. He's come from eternity. He's come into time. He went to the cross. He went to the grave. He went back to heaven. And now he's come to the door of your life carrying salvation with him. He's come a long way. And he's desiring that you, anyone here, whoever you are, whatever situation you find yourself, no matter how miserable you have become, if anyone hears my voice, I will open the door. What a promise. What a promise. I will open the door and I will dine with you. This is well meant. Doesn't matter what your past is like, whether you're a swearer, a Sabbath breaker, a murderer, a drunkard, an unclean, a thief, a cheat, a liar, a mocker, a prayerless man, a godless man, a man who hates God, a man who has been godless to the core. Any man. If that's your past, any man, hear my voice. Any woman, any boy, any girl, I will open the door. And open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And here you see this beautiful picture of the desire Christ has to fellowship with his people and they with him. That's the wonderful thing about this dining, this sweet communion. We fellowship with Christ. He holds out his broken body. He holds out his poured out wine. He holds out his death and he says, feast on this for your soul. All that has come from Calvary, feast on it. Repentance, forgiveness of sins, peace of conscience, adoption, all the glory of the gospel. Just as it were, taking it all in a big bag and just dropped on the floor here and said, come, people of St. Thomas, feast on this. Take this for your soul. Whatever your need is. Do you need wisdom? It's here. Do you need forgiveness? It's here. Do you need instruction? It's here. Everything you need is here. Do you need sin subdued? It's here. The provision is in the gospel. Take it. Eat with me. Dine with me. Come to the cross and find whatever you need there. And Jesus says that when you do that, I'm going to fellowship with you as well. It's not just that we enjoy Christ. It's that he enjoys his people. He longs for his people. He loves his people. He desires his people. Now, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. He sees the graces of his people. He sees the faith. He sees the love. And he sees, when he sees the grace and he sees the love and he sees the tears of repentance, he sees his own work. He sees the fruit of his own labor. He will see of the travail of his soul and he will be satisfied. He will see the repentance of his people and it will give him delight. He will see the love and the faith, yes, with the difficulty, but he will see the faith. If there's a blink, a flicker of faith, he will see it. And he will say, that is my work and I love it and I delight in it. John Owen says, there is all manner of spiritual refreshments of all kinds in the souls of the saints for the Lord Jesus Christ. I will come into him. And will sup with him and he with me. And he holds out that promise that there will come a feast to him that overcomes. I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Well, as we conclude now, we again desire to put ourselves under the discriminating light of the Word of God. If anyone here has ears to hear, let him hear this. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Let us all acknowledge our half-hearted, indifferent, apathetic, prayerless Christianity. Let us abhor these sins. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. Come to the provision. Come to the fountain. Come to Christ. Come to the one who's knocking at the door. Apply by faith to Calvary and to the blood. And you will find there that that if we confess our sin, faithful and just He is to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let us hear the voice of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. What a title that is, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus Christ wasn't part of the creation. He's the one who is the creator. That's what this is telling us. He's the great first cause of creation, if you will. He's the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. And what this is bringing before you is that He can make you a new creature too. That's what He does in regeneration. He makes a new creation. So you say, but I have no desire, I have no love, I don't feel it. I can't work it up in myself. Well, that's true. But He is the beginning of the creation of God. And that means He can make you a new creature. He can put love in your soul. He will put love in your soul if you come to Him. The beginning of the creation of God, the faithful and the true witness. And what patience. He's been knocking a long time. But we do say this. There will come a time when the Lord Jesus Christ will knock no more. My spirit, He says, will not always strive with man. There's a solemn thought. He's been knocking in your life since ever you were born. Knock after knock. Come to me. Open to me. Open to me. Open to me. I'll come in. I'll sup. I'll give you everything you need. But there's going to come a time to those who reject Christ, and those who refuse to open that door, there's going to come a time where that knocking will stop, and there will be no more knocks. He says, my spirit does not always strive with man. Jesus Christ gives last knocks. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. But say, like Laban said to Abraham's servant, come in, you blessed of the Lord. Why are you standing without? And we are there, and we are to pray with the bride in the Song of Solomon. Awake, O north wind, and come, you south wind, and blow upon my garden that the spices may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. The Lord Jesus Christ greatly desires and delights in the mutual fellowship of his people. He's saying it again, and here's another knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man in St. Thomas, if any woman in St. Thomas, if any boy or girl in St. Thomas hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him or to her and will sup with him or her and they with me. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we stand amazed at how long-suffering you are, how long you have been knocking, how long you have been calling, how long we have been rejecting. Oh, Blessed One, give us a heart that would say, come in. Thou, Lord Jesus, come in. Give me to taste and see that God is good. Oh, give a sweet communion the next Lord's Day, Lord willing, to your people here. Add to their number. Don't let anyone hear these knocks this afternoon and continue going on in sin. Turn many to yourself, we pray, before the last knock comes, when death comes. O Lord, we pray for mercy. Take us to our homes in safety and be with us in this week that has now begun. We ask this all for Jesus' sake. Amen.